Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening, Vega Nation. Live from Talladega, Alabama. I'm Tim Despain, alongside my good friend. CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I should ask you the same thing about after walks around all that, walk around Talladega for the last 4 days.
Yeah, well, I've done a ton of walking, but it actually helped me back a little bit. But, Stephen, I got a quote I want to say. Oh, what a tangled web we have woven.
Yes. I'm sure we could have about a 4 or 5 hour show tonight and talk about this tangled web tonight. And I don't know if we're going to get through it all, but we'll at least try and get through as much of this as we can tonight.
We'll definitely try. Stephen, let's get everything started. We got our invocation going. We got Megan going to give us our weather forecast for Martinsville for the Goodies Headache Relief 500 this weekend. And I want to bring on at this time a good friend and reverend of the show, Mr. Reverend Joe. Reverend, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Just trying to get through all this controversy with NASCAR and the fans, everybody throwing beer cans on the racetrack.
I don't see any controversy at all. It's simple.
I don't either. I mean, it's just like Stephen said. It's wrote in black and white in the rule book, and they've done just like they said they're going to do. But you know how junior nation is.
Well, you know the other thing is I've been around this for 50 years. We need to go back to racing back to the yellow, and get rid of this stupid green white checker, especially at a place like Talladega. You can't get up to speed in 2 laps.
Yeah, you're right, Reverend.
And we just wreck a bunch of equipment we don't need to wreck. So
a lot of high-dollar equipment, too, Reverend.
Exactly, and it's gotten so expensive. Let's get this thing started. Frank.
Yes, sir.
Lord, we thank you for an amazing race weekend. We thank you for nobody being injured. Some ugly-looking wrecks, but nobody seriously injured. We ask you to be with all those of our soldiers that are overseas and all over the world and even here in the United States, and our police officers, firemen, all of those who protect us, keep us free so we can do what we love to do, which is auto racing. And we ask you to bless all of the auto racers, all the racetracks this weekend, all the people involved with the sport. Be with all of us and all of our families. Bless our show tonight, and we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we can have entrance into heaven. And we thank you for all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe.
Thank you.
Reverend Joe, as always, great invocation. We got a big show tonight, so real quick, let everybody know where they can follow you in on social media and your website. Let's get started.
Yes, sir. They can get a hold of me on my phone at 951-232-7630. OnTrackWithJesus.org is our website, and OnTrackWithJesus@AOL.com is my email address. Still trying to raise the rest of the funds for Phoenix. Call me or go to our website. It's real simple. We thank you all for all your help, and God bless you all. Have a great show tonight.
Thank you, Reverend Jim. God bless you, and thanks for being our official reverend for the Pit Stop Tuesday Night Stephen Wilson. We appreciate you, bud. Safe travel.
Appreciate
thanks,
you,
bud.
Too.
I'll be keeping up with you.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, Reverend Joe. That's a Reverend on the show, Reverend Joe. And at this time, Stephen, we've got what I nicknamed her Mother Nature, ABC 3340, meteorologist Megan Thomas, with our weekend forecast for Martinsville Speedway. Let's bring Megan in the pit stop. Who's playing Stephen Wood? Megan, how are you doing tonight, sweetie?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And just want to throw this out there before you get the forecast going. I'm glad that the rain sort of didn't do like y'all said it was going to do this past weekend here today. I'm glad it held off a little bit.
Oh, yes. I was thinking about y'all all day on Sunday, and I was hoping that the rain would hold off, and you know what? It did. So that was the good news.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for doing it. Megan, you got the floor. I know your time is limited, and seeing the new studio ABC 3340 has on TV Earth, it's awesome. Looks awesome.
It looks great, doesn't it? I'm really excited about it.
Yes, we are too. And Megan, NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series are making a check up to Martinsville, Virginia this weekend for the first round of the Eliminator. In the chase for a sprint.
All right,
you got a weather forecast?
If you're headed down on Sunday, the sky mostly sunny, high 62. Overnight, we'll fall back down to the 40s. On Sunday, we'll have a slight chance of showers, and the sky will be mostly cloudy, high near 66. And the chance of rain is only about 30%, so that it's not that widespread. So you may get a hit or miss shower, or it may hold off like it did for the race in Talladega this weekend.
Okay, sounds good. So it's not going to be a total washout then, even if I do get some rain.
No,
you
may just see like a shower or two, but other than that, that's about it so far. But we all know that things change around here.
Yes, ma'am, we do, guys. You know, you can't forecast way out that far. The forecast can still change, right, Megan?
That is correct.
So, great. And Megan, we want to thank you for being the official meteorologist for the pit stop in the Spanish Stephen Wilson. You want to throw out there the forecast for Central Alabama if you got time?
Yeah, sure. So Saturday, we all know, is the Halloween, and there's about a 50% chance that we'll see showers late that night, so anywhere between 5 and midnight. So all the trick-or-treaters might go ahead and bring the umbrella around if you're in Central Alabama. And then on Sunday, we can see some showers around here as well. But Friday looks great, so if you have plans to go, I know we have a big event called the Hoover Hayride at Veterans Park right by Spain Park High School, and we'll be there, and it's a big event. So if anybody's listening and they want to come out, we'd love to have you swing by and get some candy.
I've seen that. Listeners, y'all got to go out and check that out. Megan is going to do a great job out there. Megan, real fast, can you let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media?
Sure, yeah. My Facebook is Meteorologist Megan Thomas, and then my Twitter is MegTom_WX.
Megan, thank you very much. And after all this racing stuff is over, maybe one weekend, Suzanne and I can come over to the studio and maybe get a little bit of tour, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Megan. Thank you very much, sweetie. You have a great weekend, and happy Halloween, and we'll talk at you next week.
All right, sounds good.
See you, Megan.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. That's Mother Nature. Okay, Stephen, let's get down to business. You want me to go ahead and start with, well, let me go ahead and say this right quick, because I'm going to call in at 215-332-7630. 383-3681. Our guest tonight, we have winner of the French 250 out of Super Speedway, driver number 17, Toyota Tundra for Red Horse Racing, Mr. Timothy Peters, coming on at the bottom of the hour. And at the top of the hour, we have our good friend, rider webmaster from catchfence.com, Chris Knight. He's going to come on and talk about some, you know, I'm sure, like you said earlier, we could talk 4 or 5 hours about everything that happened at Talladega. But, Stephen, do you, I think you might have some, do you have any breaking news you want to throw out before I start with the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series this past weekend, 250
Yeah, I guess. Let's go ahead and just go ahead and get into this whole 2016 schedule. But NASCAR went ahead and announced yesterday coming out with the 2016 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
Hold on. Breaking news. Hold on. I got a button. Hold on. Here we go. I love my buttons. Breaking news. Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Go ahead, bud.
Now we're starting to get too much like CNN or Fox News in here. I don't know about all these buttons. I can't keep up these days.
Go ahead, bud.
And NASCAR announcing the 2016 Sprint Cup Series and NASCAR Xfinity Series schedule for the next 5 years, the way that they have reached a 5-year agreement with the National Series tracks. NASCAR has said that this will allow the tracks to come out and announce their date a little bit quicker for the fans that want to travel to the tracks. This will allow them to bring in sponsors for long-term engagements and long-term sponsorships a little bit quicker, bringing in to the sport with a little bit more of a return on investment, not only for the sponsorships or the sponsors themselves, but for the tracks to bring on long-term partnerships. NASCAR, you know, Steve O'Donnell said that they've learned from the past that you know they have to be able to. The 1 year in the past, it's always been a 1 year sanctioning agreement that's signed year over year, usually sometime in the summer, late fall. And NASCAR will typically take and look at any tracks that want to take and move a race, things of that nature, as soon as the season gets underway. But this time they've decided that until 2020, the series in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and NASCAR Xfinity Series will be locked in for this schedule or a semblance of this schedule. Unless a track owner themselves want to move a race date around. NASCAR has not precluded a, you know, ISC or SMI or one of the independent tracks from moving a race date around. They will still continue to look at those types of deals. NASCAR also has said that, you know, they will not preclude a new venue that is interested in hosting a Camping World Truck Series race between now and 2020, possibly from entering into the schedule, but they would like to keep the schedule as close to this for the next 5 years as possible for not only the fans, but for the tracks themselves to bring in as much, you know, the sponsorships that they so desire for long-term engagements and things of that nature. It will also help out, you know, as they've said, the fans that are traveling to events to better plan out where they're going to go for the next season and allowing the tracks themselves to announce their dates almost at will when they're ready to announce the dates and not having to wait on NASCAR to put the schedule out any longer.
I think that's a great deal, Stephen. That way it gives everybody that wants to go to a track, they can plan and see when their date is, when they can take off, what they got going on. I'm glad NASCAR and the tracks are doing this early.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been, you know, that's always been the problem is that you never knew when the schedule was going to come out. Sometimes it would be August, September. Now we're almost November, but now we know why that this year it's been so late in the year while they worked on this 5-year sanctioning agreement with the tracks instead of just a 1-year singular agreement, which they've done in the past and has been for pretty much a marquee sanctioning agreement for many, many years in NASCAR, and you have to applaud NASCAR for looking at these things for all of the tracks and looking out for the fans in general so that they can can start planning these things out a little bit more into the future.
Yeah, most definitely. And Stephen, I'll go ahead and get started with the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series at Talladega Super Speedway, the 10th annual Fred's 250. Timothy Peters won the 10th annual Fred's 250, his ninth victory, and 203 NASCAR Camper World Truck Series races. This is his first victory in 12th top 10 finish in 2015. This is his second victory and fourth top 10 finish in 7 races at Talladega Super Speedway. Brandon Jones finished second. Awesome run for Brandon. Posted his first top 10 finish in his first start at Talladega Super Speedway. It is his sixth top 10 finish in 2015. Mason Negus finished top 10 finish in 3 races at Talladega Super Speedway. Brandon Jones finishing second was the highest finishing rookie. Eric Jones leads the point standings by 18 points over Tyler Reddick. At the start of that race, I asked Tyler a question in the media saying it was 16 points at that time. So Eric got 2 on him. Timothy Peters is the third driver in series history to win a consecutive race at Talladega Super Speedway, joining Todd Bodine in 2007-2008 and Kyle Busch in 2009 and 2010. Let's see what Timothy Peters had to say in the Ken Patterson Media Center at Talladega Super Speedway.
All right, we'll go ahead and continue on with our post-race media availability for today's Fred's 250 at Talladega Super Speedway. We are now joined by our race winner, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota, crew chief Marcus Richmond, and team owner Tom DeLoach. Timothy, you successfully defended your win here at Talladega this weekend. Talk about the race today and being back in victory lane.
First off, the guys at the shop, Marcus, the guys here, just really put Chassis 12 back together, even better from my little qualifying incident at Daytona. And from the time we unloaded off the liftgate, our Tundra was fast. We knew that if all the fenders would stay on it, we could qualify well, and they did a phenomenal job. And we were able to start on the pole, and it's all about positioning yourself throughout the race to be there at the end. And Chris Lambert did an awesome job telling me where everybody was at, what they were doing. I tried to keep up the best I could with what the truck was doing and getting it back to Marcus, and he made great changes, and the guys made great pit stops throughout the race. So even better going to victory lane and sitting on the pole with Ashley riding shotgun with me. And, it feels good to join Todd and Kyle as two that have won this race more than once.
All right, and Marcus, a lot going on those final laps. Talk about the view from the pit box.
Yeah, I actually told Alex Hayden it's a whole lot better from the pit box than it is. It takes a lot of pressure off me when you got Timothy out there driving and Chris spotting it. It really helps out a lot. We've had a good Tundra as soon as we unloaded. Was really excited to sit on the pole because that shows how much hard work and effort from the shop. And just like to thank Tom DeLoach for the opportunity and Timothy for doing an awesome job.
And, Tom, this team has been on a bit of an upswing lately. Talk about their momentum heading into the future, but also the win here today.
Yes, good Lord has been very good to us. Recently, we've seemed to have got all the pieces clicking. We had one or two of the pieces working right, but never got them all going at the same time. Now the Triad engines are really kicking out some horsepower. The guys in the fab shop are turning out a fantastic body. Mark is putting a fantastic setup on, and our drivers doing a pretty good job. So with that, we're really kind of moving forward with all the pieces. It takes everything together working, and we finally have gotten there. Too bad it didn't start in Daytona.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation. We'll start with Reed.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Congratulations. Tim, were you at all surprised that that Brandon picked the low lane instead of picking in front of his teammate? And were you surprised also that Spencer gave you such a good push to get you out front there?
Not really. I kind of thought maybe that he would maybe take the outside, but, when we've already got the radio from the tower that this was going to be the one and only attempt. So at that point, teammates are good for 95 laps, and on coming to the checkered, you're on your own. He kind of knew that it was kind of every man for themselves, and, you know, I appreciate the push that Spencer gave to me. Glad he's okay after that wreck on the backside, but, you know, we got a good restart there, but the four was pushing a 33 from the get-go, and the push that Spencer gave me was a little delayed, but it was enough to get us both in front of the 33.
Steven, it seems like Peters has some things figured out here at Talladega, especially on this restricted plate track. He's won the last two races here, fall last year and fall this year.
Yeah, coming in there and defending his win from last year, obviously he's got something figured out on how to get around that place. And, you know, he had some very tough competition out there early on in the day with Matt Crafton and John West Townley. When they got hooked up together, that they could almost maneuver through the track anywhere that they needed to go. But then you also had Brian Keselowski, too, that throughout the event, he had some strong horsepower in those BKR racing trucks out there that seemed to be able to push him to the front. So, you know, he had three other guys out there that he had to compete against really all day long. And unfortunately, you know, with the incidents of Crafton out there, and then Brian Keselowski, his issues late on into the race with the fuel issue, and then obviously with John West Townley too, you know, those three guys, the three strongest trucks that he had to go against, obviously taking them out of contention helped him, you know, pull this off right there at the end. And, you know, he was strong very good early on into the event, and then, you know, they had to change strategies. And we're going to get on into this a little bit, and that's one of my questions I'm going to ask him, is that, you know, how their strategy really came into play, how they had to go up against some of these guys in the middle part of the race out there. But, you know, to him being able to get around Talladega out there and defending that win is, you know, it takes a lot, because as anybody knows, getting around Talladega is one of those tracks that almost anybody could win at, no matter who you are.
Exactly, and you never know when the big one's going to happen. And, you know, you heard Timothy talk about the one attempt, which is a great white checker, which, like you said, that's what we'll talk about later. But we got Timothy coming up at the bottom of the hour. Just want to throw us out there. The number calling is 215-383-3681. And, Stephen, if you want to start with or finish with the Cup Series, oh, what a tangled web we hit for.
Yeah, I'm going to make it quick. I'm going to make it quick, and we can finish this discussion up afterwards. Camping World 500 out there at the Talladega Super Speedway to finish this round of the eliminations up in the Chase for the Sprint Cup Series. Joey Logano, your eventual winner, taking all three rounds in this round of the Chase with in the competition. He's just been hard to beat throughout this series, winning out here his 14th victory in 251 attempts in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, his sixth victory in 2015, and also this is his 26th top 10 finish. This is also his first victory there, and 14 races at Talladega Super Speedway. Dale Earnhardt Jr., I know. Hey, everybody's probably sighing at me right now. Finishing second out there. I know. Finishing second. His 16th top 10 finish in 32 races at Talladega, and 19th top 10 finish in 2015. Jeff Gordon finishing third after starting on the pole. Matt DiBenedetto finishing fourth, the highest finishing rookie. Joey Logano leading the points by 27. Now that's before they reseeded the points. Going into the eliminator round, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Newman, Matt Kenseth, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. were the four guys that were eliminated out of this round. Starting this week at Martinsville Speedway, there are eight guys that will contend to be knocked down to four going into Homestead, Miami in 3 weeks. All will be reseeded with 4,000 in points, and starting in order was Joey Logano, Carl Edwards, Jeff Gordon, Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, and Kyle Busch will be your eight guys that will contend for the four spots for your NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion when they go into Homestead, Miami in 3 weeks. And we can get into this in just a little while. I'm sure there's plenty of comments and plenty of people knocking the doors down ready to make some comments.
Exactly, Steven. I figured we'd get into all this with Chris tonight. But throw this out there before I play. Joe Logano's Media Center interview from Ken Patterson Media Center here in Talladega. Actually, you want KenPoller.com 500. If you call in, the number calling is 215-383-3681. Keep everything to a discussion. This is a family show. If you say anything out of the way, you will be cut off. Am I right, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. Have a spirited discussion, okay, but keep it family-oriented. Absolutely.
Family-oriented and nothing, I mean, you know, we're not going to put it with all this yin-yang BS. So before we come from the bottom
nope.
Part here, we got a couple minutes. Let's see what Joey had to say to Ken Patterson Media Center in Philadelphia.
All right. We'll go ahead and continue on with our post-race availability in today's CampingWorld.com 500. We are now joined by race winner Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford. Joey, you've swept all three races in the contender round. Quite an accomplishment for you and the 22 team. Talk about your team's momentum in the win here today.
We got momentum, that's for sure. This team's just been firing all eight right now. It's amazing. All these different types of racetracks we've been able to win at this season and how hard everyone keeps fighting. And we want the big trophy at the end of the year. You know, we want to win every trophy in between, but we want the big one at the end of the season. And this is what we've shown here this last round is a big deal. But the fact of the matter is we're back to zero again. And what we do have going for us that other teams don't have is a lot of confidence. We got momentum, and we're relaxed. You know, we've shown that we know how to do it. We just got to keep going out there and doing what we know how to do.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation. We'll start up front with George, and then go to Don.
Yeah, Joey, George Diaz with the Orlando Sentinel. Can you take us through the last? I guess it was the only green light checker that counted. How concerned were you that Junior could catch you there?
Well, it was going to be some back and forth for sure on what was going to happen. And when you're lining up against the best at super speedway racing, and in a very fast car, he's proved that throughout the whole day that his car was very fast. Also proved the 24 was really fast throughout the day as well. So, wanted to have that 24 behind me to push. I felt like he was really good on restarts. I saw that earlier in the race. So I felt like, okay, that's what I got to do. I got to get around those guys. And, I was able to – I wanted to split them up, for one. I thought those two together would be too strong to beat. So I felt like I had to split them up. I thought the top lane was the lane of choice that I felt like we needed to have. And was able to make the run and get out ahead enough before the caution came out.
All right, we'll go to Don Coble and then up to the press box.
Joey, Don Coble with Morris News Service. After you kind of figured out that you had won, this is, Talladega is a place where Earnhardt is, this is their mecca. Fans were throwing stuff. Did you have to steer through some of that? And you weren't really the villain, but, anybody that beats Earnhardt is kind of like a guy who kicks a puppy,
I was aiming for him. I was thirsty, so I was aiming for everything. And it's kind of a cool explosion when you hit beer cans and stuff. It explodes all over the place, so kind of a shame they're throwing their beers full. I feel bad. I should have drank them. But it was kind of interesting. Usually there's one or two, but that was kind of like it was raining out there. So kind of new thing, but that's okay. It's, everyone's passionate about their driver, and that's what makes our sport great. I appreciate the passion that our fans have, and I think that's something that's really cool to see about the way people act for their drivers. So, it is what it is. Doesn't hurt my race car, and our race cars are built strong, so they can hit a lot of stuff and keep on rolling.
All right, we'll go up to the press box.
Thanks. It's John Oriovitz with ESPN.com. Joey, Roger Penske just said that, you would have been crazy if you thought that anybody could win all three races in a round. Can you offer your thoughts on what you've achieved by sweeping this round and the momentum it gives you going forward?
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible. I tell you that much. When you come to chase time, everyone's bringing their A game. They're bringing everything they got, the best they can, not only with their race cars, but every driver's trying to find that extra little bit and to see what this 22 team's done coming into the chase and being able to, you know, have some very good finishes in the first round, click off three wins here in the contender round. You know, that's a statement, you know, and that's what you know, we tried to do. You know, we were in situations throughout this chase that, you know, maybe we didn't have to win, but our job is to win. That's what Roger Penske, you know, expects from us. He expects excellence. He expects us to win a lot of races and, you know, want to produce. You know, we're a performance business, and we got to go out there, and if there's a trophy, we're supposed to get it. That's our job, and it needs to be able to do that.
Steven, I'm going to say it again. Oh, the tangled web we wove. I don't want to beat a dead horse to death, but I think we might have our guest coming up here at the bottom of the hour. excuse me. You have any quick thoughts on that before we bring our bottom of the hour guest up? And then at the top of the hour, we've got Chris Knight from catchfish.com. Do you have a quick thought before we bring Tim Peters on?
No, I think we'll bring Timothy on, and we'll get into this just as soon as as soon as Chris comes on, once we get Timothy off of here.
Okay. Let's bring on winner of the Fred's 250 Dallas Super Speedway and NASCAR Camp World Truck Series driver number 17, Toyota Tundra, for Red Horse Racing, Mr. Timothy Peters. Timothy, how are you doing tonight, bud?
Hey, good. I lost you for a minute there. I don't know what happened.
Well,
let's get ready to rumble!
I must have hit the pause button on the button, Timothy. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great, Timothy. Congratulations again on winning the Fred's 250 in Talladega Super Speedway and, that's back-to-back, which I want to bring up something else, too. It's back-to-back-to-back. You've won the last three races you've run here in Alabama. A few weeks ago, remember, you and I had a big banging contest over at Audubon Speedway for a few laps, and you won the heat race over there. So you've actually won three in a row here in Talladega, boy, in Alabama.
Yeah, we had a good time for sure. It was cool to cut up with all you guys over there, and what a nice facility at Audubon for sure. But getting back to winning the race Saturday, that was very cool to be able to put our Red Horse Tundra on the pole. It's just a true testament to Red Horse Racing for the raw speed that it takes to have the capability of doing that. And then to put the icing on our cake, we was able to go to Victory Lane and become the third driver to win back-to-back races at Talladega. So it's definitely a very special place to me. A lot of history there, and it's a tough big racetrack. But hey, we were very proud of our moment, and especially having my crew chief's sister on board, Ashley Richmond, carrying her name above the passenger side door, meant the world to not only me but the whole race team.
Yeah, that was a cool deal, Tim. Yeah, we were there and. We've seen all the Gatorade flying and all that. But before I throw you over to a scene, because, I mean, you know, I've asked you questions at the Audubon, and I've talked to you here in the Ken Patterson Media Center and all that. We played your interview from the Media Center earlier. But that green-white checker, whenever the caution come out, and NASCAR had already said that it was going to be only one attempt for the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series and the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. What was going through your mind when you had to go through that green white check?
Well, the main thing was you know, I knew that we were somewhat close on fuel, but it wasn't urgency. So, but the main thing is that even though you take the white and the checkered together, you have to make it back around to the white and the yellow together. Excuse me. You still have to make it around the 2.5 mile track to take. The yellow and the checkered. So my main concern was making sure that we kept our pickup box inside our fuel cell full of racing fuel, and so we were able to get back. Not that we were close, but, you know, at that point, you know you're on the cusp of going to victory lane, you want to make sure that my Toyota Tundra crossed the line. And when I saw the caution come out, it was just a good feeling. First, knowing that the people involved were okay, but two, knowing that we were going to go to victory lane.
Yeah. And, you know, Spencer Deller, you know, he was trying to make his little deal there. And did y'all talk after the race, Timothy, and is everything okay with y'all all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked after he actually came in victory lane. So it's just the product of Super Speedway Racing. They were coming with the run, and I threw a block. Unfortunately, they were caught up in an incident. So I appreciate the push that he gave me. But as far as I'm concerned, nothing was wrong.
Cool. And, Timothy, I'm going to throw you over. You know, like I said earlier, I've asked you a ton of questions all month long. I'm going to throw you over to my good friend and co-host, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. And I'm going to step aside just for a second. I'll come right back, Steve, if you got the floor.
Timothy, congratulations on going back-to-back there at Talladega this past weekend, especially from the pole out there. I know it's incredibly tough to do it at a place like that. You guys were very strong early on leading the race out there, but then you had some competitors in about midway through the race, especially Matt Craft and him, John West Townley, that seemed to be able to hook up and get around the racetrack out there. What did you guys do as far as strategy out there through the midpoint of the race and kind of change your what you guys were doing to kind of run through that pack and keep up with not only them but some of the other stronger teams out there and just kind of manage yourself through those 94 laps, not knowing what might come at the end of the race?
Well, you know, first of all, you want to be very disciplined and kind of ride for really three-quarters of the race. But keep yourself in position if your truck is able to let you do that towards the front, because that's definitely the safest place that I feel like when you're racing on a super speedway, regardless if it's Talladega or Daytona. You know, our strategy really didn't change much, if any, throughout the race. We just wanted to stay right on the yellow line, and we stayed in the top five all race long except for the cycle on the green flag stop. So there at the end, when you get less than 15 laps to go, I think we were ninth or 10th, and it's kind of go time then. And at that time, we restarted ninth, and our line went. And it was all about how quick your line was formed in order to get that really good start and that jump out there. Chris Lambert, my spotter, gave me a lot of great information on what trucks will wear as far as the bottom lane, how much of a run did the bottom lane have versus the outside line, how many good trucks were formed in the outside line. So we were able to pick and choose on that and get our way up to the front before you know it. Before the last attempt came, we found ourselves third. And the 54 got served with a penalty tandem hooking on to the 33. And that last attempt, we were able to start second. And the rest is history. Was able to take our Toyota Tundra to victory lane.
Yeah, Super Speedway Racing is unlike, you know, going anywhere else on the circuit, especially you coming out of Virginia, and I'm from Virginia my own self. I know you came out of the Danville area, so you're very familiar with Martinsville's and the South Boston raceways out there. So when you go to a place like Talladega or Daytona and you have to compete on a track like that, what is your strategy specifically, and do you go and not only talk to your teammates or do you talk to any of the other guys in the garage beforehand and kind of formulate a strategy going into the race so that you don't necessarily ride around the track for that three quarters of the race because you don't want to lose that lead draft early on and then put yourself a lap down too early on and have to try and battle back, especially from a lap down, because as you know, it's almost impossible at a place like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you get there and you have the first draft in practice, I mean, you can talk to a few guys. But, you know, you can have all kinds of plans going into the race, and they never work out. You know, the main key is keeping yourself in position towards the front. I feel like we did a great job executing that by being able to sit on the pole. And when you do that, track position was very critical to stay there. And then we led, I guess it was 23 laps, I believe, the first 23 laps. And then, we got shuffled back to fourth. But the main goal at that point was just to ride. I know some guys like to ride in the back of the pack, and sometimes you at a place like Talladega, you can jeopardize losing the draft. But we didn't want to play that game being for starting on the front row. So it worked out well for us. Our Toyota Tundra was fast from the time we unloaded it, and single truck runs, draft and practice, and even in the race. It was just when I wanted to use my truck and wanted to go, it was so good. I could do that on willpower. It was just timing it at the right time, not being too eager to get yourself in a position where you would lose more spots than you would gain.
And my last question before I throw you back over to Tim is, you're coming out of Talladega with a win, the biggest track that we go on the schedule, and you're coming back home to the shortest track on the schedule. How much of that just gives you and your team just that extra momentum coming back home with that win, and changes the whole dynamic of how you come into Martinsville this weekend, and especially now that you're fifth in points, you've gained one spot now over Cameron Haley this week. You're about 32 points back from Johnny Sauter at this point, trying to catch up on to him.
Well, you know, I think trying to get to fourth place is a very reachable goal. I believe it's 43 points, 44 points that we're behind Johnny. And, you know, you divide that over four races. I mean, that's very doable. So it's just all about being consistent and making sure you're there at the end.
Okay, well, congratulations on your back-to-back wins there at Talladega, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Tim. And, Tim, thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on. And we're going to give away one of your signed hero cards tonight. And I'm going to throw out the trivia question, and I'm going to take a random caller. Excuse me, but the trivia question is, listeners, the number to call in is 215-383-3681. What year did Timothy Peters make his NASCAR Sprint Cup Series debut? And, Timothy, you can't win it now, because I know you know.
It's going to be hard for anybody to win that one, I believe.
You think so?
On the Sprint Cup side?
Camping World Truck Series. It's supposed to be Camp World Truck Series.
Correct.
Oh,
Tim.
Thank you, yeah. Yeah, I'm on the last. Yeah, thank you. What? I'm sorry, y'all. What year did Timothy Peters make his NASCAR Camp World Truck Series debut? Thank y'all. I had my mind on something else. But the number to call in is 215-383-3681. We're going to give some of our callers time to call in. If you got a few minutes, Timothy, can you stay on?
Sure.
Okay. And, you know, Stephen was talking a lot about Martinsville. You know, just like he said, you know, you're going from the biggest track on the circuit, the 2.66-mile Talladega Super Speedway, down to the half-mile Martinsville Speedway. And I know you've raced at Bristol also. Suzanne and I, we've been to seven or eight races there at Bristol. But there's something about Martinsville. Whenever we went up there, I mean, it's just – it's the flat. I mean, it's beating and banging. Does temper sort of flare a little bit? I don't want to put you on the spot.
They do. But, I mean, that's short track racing. I think it doesn't matter if it was across the three national series or your local Saturday night deal. A lot of people go to see great, great action. Beating and banging, tempers flaring. That's what racing was built on within a certain degree. So, you know, we're looking forward to getting back to Martinsville and carrying the momentum from Talladega to Martinsville. You know, I heard you mention that you were bringing Chris Knight on, and he sent a tweet out after the the race Saturday, and our last four finishes, the way he put it was pretty cool, was a third, fourth, second, and a first, and an average finish of 2.5. So we're really proud of that, and we want to keep that going, headed into Martinsville, even though Martinsville is a tough little racetrack.
Yeah, and you know, Timothy Chris Knight, he's a good friend of Suzanne and I and Stephen also. I mean, he stays up on stats. Chris really knows his stuff great. And but Timothy, let's see, we got a – let me see here. I'm going to pick out this guy right here, Charles. I want to bring on my good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen International. He calls in and tries to win everything, but I'm going to bring him on and see if he can answer the question. Tyler, you're the pit stop. Tim is playing Stephen Wilson and Timothy Peters, NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series. Do you know the answer? I'll ask your question again. What year did, and I hope I don't mess it up, what year did Timothy Peters make his NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series debut?
Well, you got me on that one, considering I do like Mr. Timothy Peters. I'm going to guess 2006.
You're close.
What did you say? Todd, do you want to try one more time? You were really, really close.
2007?
Oh, I hit the wrong button. All the other callers dropped, Timothy. What do you think? You want to give him one more shot?
Sure, one more shot. Why not? Third time's a charm.
One more shot, Todd. Go the other way.
I will go 2004.
Oh, my goodness, Todd. What do you say, Timothy? You want to, since all the other 15 or 20 callers dropped when I brought him on, you want to tell him my answer?
2005.
Aha.
All over it, though.
Okay, Todd, since everybody else dropped, Timothy Peters has given you the signed hero card where he won the Fed 250 here at Talladega Super Speedway. Todd, do you have anything you want to ask Timothy right quick before I throw you back over to Suzanne? Let make sure she got your mailing address and stuff right.
Sure. Timothy, I watched your race at Dover. I was there with an Xfinity team. Now, going from a small track to a super speedway, what do you have to do differently for a small track versus a big track?
Well, when you go, when you race at Talladega, you just have to be, not only do you have to be physically fit, but mentally fit. You know, every race is a thinking game, but more so on the super speedway. You have to actually anticipate it happening before it actually does. And usually you can come out on top. You can kind of see things kind of happening on a super speedway as far as if you're getting yourself in a bad situation and if you don't like the situation at the current time, you can kind of bail on it and take yourself to a safety net until the end of the race. Well, when you go to a place like Martinsville, that's a lot of aggressive drivers that are trying to get one goal, and that's the win. So when you get closer to it, there's really no place to hide at Martinsville. You can't just bail out of a pack and go to last and wait till 15, 20 laps to go and try to work your way to the front, because just the short track racing, track position is very critical, probably the most critical track that we go to for track position. So you have to be aggressive. You have to stay up front. You see a lot of people moving other competitors out of the way, using the old chrome horn, if you will, rubbing door handles, a lot of beating and banging. So you know, you just have to be aware of people trying to be aggressive. And, you know, at Martinsville, you want to race people the way that you're raced. So if you get the bumper laid to you, you know, you return the favor.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate it, and congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, Todd, I'm gonna throw you back over into the screening room with Suzanne and let her make sure she's got your mail and address right for fair at Watkins Glen. And Timothy, I know your time's short. Stephen, do you have any last thoughts?
I couldn't hear you, Tim. Could you say that one more time, please?
I was asking Stephen if he had any last thoughts, Timothy. I know your time's short. And Stephen said he was good. So, Timothy, I want to thank you very much for taking time to call out. We always give our callers time to let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media.
You can check us out on Twitter at TimothyPeters17. And please go to Twitter's, go to Red Horse Racing's Twitter page at Red Horse Racing. And you can follow us on Facebook, Red Horse Racing, and you can follow myself on Facebook at the official Timothy Peters fan page. So we got a lot of great connections that our great fans can follow us on.
Timothy, thank you very much. Good luck this weekend at Martinsville. And Stephen, are you going to Martinsville?
No, I'm not making it out to Martinsville this weekend, but good luck out there around that half-mile bull ring.
Hey, thank you guys very much. You guys have a good night, and thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, bud. Thanks for taking time out. We'll see you, Timmy. All right, that was Timothy Peters, driver of number 17 Toyota Tundra for Red Horse Racing in the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series. Coming up here, top hour, we've got Chris Knight from CatchCase.com. And, Stephen, I know you've been chomping at the bits to wait on to get to this one, because we're going to talk about everything that happened at Dega. And the rule change with the one green white checkered and this and that and yonder. But Stephen, let's take a little bit of a break. We got about 6 minutes before we come up on top of the hour. Let's take a little bit of a break, and I'll play a song and we'll come back and catch Chris Knight from CatchFish.com. Is that okay with you, bud?
Sure thing.
All right, I'll play a song. We'll take about a 5-minute break. We'll be right back. Number to call in is 215-383-3681. You're in the Pit Stop with Dennis Mann and Stephen Wilson, live from Talladega, Alabama.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling north on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side. Like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. We met at a truck stop, Johnson City, Tennessee. I was gassing up my fiber when I heard her calling me. Said, which boy, do you need some company? She had me stopping at a Quick Mart before we made it out of town. Next thing she was running at me, telling me to lay that hammer down. All there's behind me, doing his best to slow me down. Yeah, and it's a long way to Richmond, rolling up on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun.
counting all the money, smoking stolen Marlboros. Lord, we never saw them coming till they read us both our rights.
Just dive right into it at this point. The thing is that you come into this weekend, obviously all the drivers knew exactly what the rules were going to be. The fans knew what the rules were going to be. There was no surprise that NASCAR showed up and said at the drivers' meeting, oh, we're going to change the rules. You're going to get one shot at doing this, or you're going to do this, or you're going to do that. You know, this was well in advance planned out on what exactly was going to happen, so this shouldn't have been a surprise. We had already seen the day prior in the Camping World Truck Series what happened. They were given one green flag, attempt to finish the race out. They got a half a lap in, and Spencer Gallagher and John Westheimer racked about a half a lap into that. So, of course, it shouldn't have been a surprise when it came to Sunday. You know, obviously, anybody that watched the last replay, we can sit and debate all night long on who exactly, one way or another, did Kevin Harvick spin out Trevor Bayne? Did he not do it? Was he defending his position in the chase? Was he not defending his position in the chase? You know, NASCAR did come out today and say that, you know, they don't feel like anything happened. So, the rules were clear on what was going to happen with this race weekend. So I don't see where, the fans can be but so upset. We knew what the rules were coming in. The drivers knew what the rules were coming in. So I don't think that, you can be but so upset about the whole one green, white checkered.
Yeah, and, Stephen, we can be a fan and butt everything to death. Suzanne and I, we were in the press box with Chris Knight and Reed and Lee Spencer. I'm not going to call it a first attempt. I'm going to call it an extended yellow flag attempt. And we were all like, whoa. I mean, and Chris was trying, we're all trying to figure out what the rule book says. But, Stephen, we got Chris Knight, writer, webmaster from TexNets.com. It's Chris Knight. Let's bring him in the pit stop. Team Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Chris, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, bud. Thank you for coming on. You know, Stephen was we went ahead and started talking about. I've been saying it the whole show along, Chris. Oh, what a tangled web we have woven.
Yeah, Talladega. It's still talk. We're still talking about Tuesday when we should be looking ahead to Martinsville. But so much happened, and we kind of. I had my radio show last night, and I kind of was telling our listeners and my co-host that I just felt robbed on kind of both days. Actually, I felt robbed on Saturday during the truck race, and I didn't think it would happen on Sunday. But I felt more robbed on Sunday when I left the press box from the CampingWorld.com 500.
Exactly. You know, you and I were talking, and it was like, you know, I was just going to say, we don't want to call it a first attempt because they never crossed the start finish line. And, you know, we were like, oh, wait a minute, you know, whoa. And, you know, like you and I were talking, and it was just like, golly. But anyway, Chris, I'm going to let you and Stephen talk because I know you and I talked all weekend about everything. And then whenever Stephen gets done, I'll let him throw you back to me. You know Stephen Wilson with Digest.com, Chris.
Of course.
Well, I mean, the thing is that we came into the week and we obviously knew what the roles were going to be. You took a look at any pass race there at Talladega. You know, it's hard to say that one green-white checker was going to solve this race out. It wasn't going to happen. We already knew that. You know, we can say that we were robbed of a finish all night, and I'm not going to disagree with you on that because I think you're absolutely right on that fact that not only anybody sitting in the stands that paid for a ticket were robbed out of a finish. But, you know, when you look at the role factor into this, you know, obviously we knew what the roles were coming into this event. How do you fix that? That's the ultimate question. Where do you go from here into fixing this problem?
Well, first off, Stephen, I applaud NASCAR for doing what they wanted to do, for trying what they wanted to do. Obviously, the safety is in the number one priority in auto racing, and especially in NASCAR, and that's exactly what they were trying to keep in mind when they went to this one green-white checkered rule. But unfortunately, when you make a knee-jerk reaction, and this reaction was based off of what happened at Austin Dillon at Daytona International Speedway in July, you're going to have some drawbacks. And unfortunately, the drawback happened to be what exactly transpired on Sunday afternoon at Talladega Super Speedway. I don't think anybody could have predicted what had happened, but when you change the rules, you're going to have some consequences for changing those rules, especially so close to the race. And unfortunately, we saw that happen once where NASCAR said, okay, the guys didn't get to the start-finish line. This doesn't count as a restart. As an attempt. So they racked him up, and then Kevin Harvick obviously had his issues and got into Trevor Bayne, and all hell broke loose behind that. So in a perfect world, if I was with NASCAR, if I was, you know, the leader of NASCAR, my rules would be pretty simple. It would be to what the ARC Racing Series has, is that the fans spend 3.5 hours to come to that race, and they spend lots of their own personal money with tickets and concessions and souvenirs and whatnot. They deserve to see a green flag finish. So, it would be unlimited attempt at a green-white checkered, and we finish that race under green no matter what. These are the best stock car drivers in the world, and in my opinion, if the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards can do this, then so can the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
Yeah, but, I mean, the only question to that fact is that, you know, you go back and you take a look at what happened at Austin Dillon there at Daytona, and you take a look at, okay, we look at the events that happened with Kevin Harvick and Trevor Bayne there that stacked up about a half a dozen or about eight cars there at the finish there at Talladega. At what point do you say does unlimited green flags don't exist any longer, because how many cars are going to be running at the end? Obviously, and I'll follow that up with this, is that you take a look at Brad Keselowski. He said that earlier in the week when he got there, he said that racing, you know, if you're going to go race single file there at Talladega, you're racing scared. But earlier in the week, he said that, you know, he wanted single file restart. So, you know, he kind of almost, at the same time, he's saying this two different things. So where do we draw the line on these things? First, you want single file, you want double file, you want unlimited, but then at what point do we say, well, where's the cutoff on some of these role changes? I mean,
there shouldn't be a cutoff because
sometimes
there shouldn't be a cutoff, Stephen, because this is the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. This is the top dog, if you will, of motorsports, of stock car racing in America. And at my point, they should be doing everything that they can to not only ensure the fans of a green, white, checkered finish, but doing what they can to make sure that everybody leaves happy. And if that includes the fan, the fans, and then they need to do that because the fans are what continues to take this sport to the next level. They're trying to introduce new fans into the sport on a constant basis, especially as we try to emerge from this recession. And if you're going to end the race under caution, that's not going to draw fans. You saw the fans lashed out, obviously, with the outcome of the race, and whether that was because Joey Logano won and Dale Earnhardt Jr. didn't win, or because they didn't get a finish under green, the fans were upset, and they're still upset today. So we have to go back to the picture and say, the sport's expensive. We know it's expensive, but you can tear your car up at Talladega on lap five as much as you can on the last lap. That's what it comes down to with restrictor plate racing. There's no good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, we're going to see bad crashes at any other racetrack. The drivers get hurt all the time. Denny Hamlin got hurt at Auto Club Speedway. Austin Terrio got hurt at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So there's so many different scenarios. You can't just pinpoint one thing. Yes, can the cars get off the ground? Absolutely, but they can get off the ground anywhere. The wrecks are so big because this is the nature of the beast. This is what NASCAR has put restrictor plate racing to be. If they're so afraid about this, then let's go back to tandem racing. But if we go back to tandem racing, then you take what happened to Carl Edwards and Brad Keselowski back several years ago. So there's no right, wrong, or indifferent. Who's to say that what happened with Austin Dillon could happen again? It could happen again, but it also could not happen again. So in my opinion, NASCAR needs to just put out where they finish these races under green, and these drivers have at it, and they know what's on the line, and they have to push the button, but they also should know how hard they have to push the button when they're in a scenario like that. So there's no right or wrong answer, in my opinion. Obviously, it's NASCAR's playpen, and we'll have to abide by their rules, but in my opinion, we should always finish a race under green flag conditions, and it should come at whatever cost, meaning whatever, how many ever times it takes to get the job done.
And I think you're right in some aspects. And you take a look at a race like this, which is obviously a cutoff race. You've got 12 guys going at it. Some of these guys are right at the cutoff. You take Dale Earnhardt Jr., you've got Denny Hamlin, you've got Ryan Newman that can obviously make his way into the race, I mean, into the next round of the chase. And these are some of these guys that, depending on where they finish, they can obviously move on. And they don't need this one attempt at the green-white checker because 50 feet from the start-finish line, obviously there can be a wreck. Here's a caution, and we just saw that this past weekend. And this is exactly what kept Dale Earnhardt Jr. out of the next moving on.
Right.
So, you know, we can go obviously on to, you know, unlimited green-white checkers and, you know, move on throughout this. But, you know, moving on, I mean, we can go on about this all night long. You know, we're coming into Martinsville this weekend. Totally different story. We're going from the biggest track there is to the smallest track there is. Obviously, the fans are still upset. The drivers are going to be upset coming into this weekend. It's a perfect time to show that displeasure. And obviously, there are some drivers out there that are not going to be very happy. But, you know, one driver that seemed to just be just very content at what happened was whether he was doing it for the cameras or whether he was really personally that content was Dale Earnhardt Jr. He said he was okay with what happened. Where do you feel that some of these drivers going into Martinsville this weekend are really putting their heads into this that are no longer in the chase now?
Well, I think the Talladega fans, their loss is going to be the Martinsville fans' gain for the Goodies 500 on Sunday afternoon. I expect nothing but an absolute slugfest, and I expect some terror to take on at Martinsville Speedway. I think some guys are going to remember those paybacks, whether it was from the early in the season, the midway through the season, or even near end of the season. If I'm Joey Logano, I'm staying out front, and I'm doing whatever I can to make sure that I put myself in between as many cars as possible, because I think Joey Logano, in a sense, has a target on his back, especially when it comes to the Joe Gibbs Racing stable and driver Matt Kenseth. Look, Matt Kenseth was not happy with Joey Logano again last weekend at Talladega, and Matt Kenseth was pretty vocal on the radio about it when Joey Logano come across his nose trying to get to pit road during green flag stops. So this opportunity in Martinsville, we've seen it in the past where drivers will have at it, with the boys have at it procedure, and it wouldn't surprise me if we go into this first round of the chase and we start to see that, because if you can knock somebody's momentum, especially somebody like Joey Logano's momentum out of him, then it could be hard to overcome as we go into Texas and Phoenix. And I think I definitely don't consider Texas Motor Speedway a place for payback, but you definitely also think a place like Phoenix International Raceway. So if you don't get the job done, or if you don't get the job finished at Martinsville, you definitely go into Phoenix and finish it there. And we all know that, Stephen, that's a cutoff race, and that's the third round that takes you to the championship round at Homestead Miami. So this chase, I think, is going to, you know, we've seen drama pegged to the limit already as we come to Talladega, and I think it's going to get pegged even more as we head into Martinsville in these final three races before we get to Homestead for the 2015 season.
I mean, aside from this, I mean, if we just take a look and just say, okay, just wipe the slate clean and say, okay, just never mind the fact of what happened at Talladega. If we look at the chase this year as a whole, the drama that has been pegged with Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano, everything that has culminated this year with Joe Gibbs Racing that just seemed to be on a tear late in the season, just seemed to be dominant so much going into this chase. Then all of a sudden, here's Penske Racing, 3 wins in a row with Joey Logano. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, going into this weekend at Martinsville, somebody's going to get some payback. Are we seeing a new dynamic into the chase this year, that the drama and the perfect storm, per se, of this chase has really, what NASCAR has designed 2 years ago when they changed this format, that they said, this is what we want and this is how we designed it?
Well, I'm not sure NASCAR has created it to the point where we got, but they were definitely created this chase to bring drama, and it seems no matter how many years we've had this chase, obviously this is just the second year in this new format, but it's obviously bringing different kinds of drama from every single level, from on-the-track shenanigans to off-the-track shenanigans with Kevin Harvick and Jimmy Johnson at Chicagoland Speedway. Look, you had a guy like Denny Hamlin and Matt Kenseth, who were infuriated with what Kevin Harvick did at Talladega last weekend. Is that going to carry over into Martinsville? Hard to say. It very well could. But then you get somebody like drivers who just remember from things that happened at the beginning of the year. And there's these drivers that are not in the chase anymore, or drivers that have a chance to go out there and have a good run on Sunday, and they want to do what they can to keep a chase driver from winning. So that's what I like about Martinsville. But the perfect scenario, if you're going to stir the pot kind of scenario, with some of these drivers that have been knocked out of the chase and they blame it on other drivers or different scenarios, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Carl Edwards is another example that I can give, is and the mentality that you have to think for some of these drivers going in, even if it's not in the forefront of their mind, it's definitely in the back of their mind. If I can't win this championship, then neither will you.
Absolutely, and you know, as we continue to go through this chase, you know, this just continues to build. I mean, we saw what happened last year, obviously, you know, Brad Keselowski and Matt Kenseth going at it there at Charlotte last year, and we just don't know when this is just going to pop off this year. It may be at Martinsville this week, it may be at Texas. You just don't know what's going to happen week over week. We thought that something was going to happen this week after it all ended out. But, Chris, I appreciate you coming on tonight, talking a little NASCAR with us, especially after everything that happened there at Talladega. And I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Good luck on the rest of the season. I wish I was going to be able to make it out to a couple of races, but unfortunately I'm not, and I will definitely catch up with you next year.
Yeah, thanks for nice talking to you, buddy, and definitely hope to see you soon.
Sure thing.
Thanks, Stephen. And Chris, I got one last question. I mean, you know, I want to throw this out there.
Yeah.
You know, NASCAR, you know, like we talked about, they limited the super speedways to a one try at the Green White Checkers.
Right.
Okay. Now, this is just my thought. why not? I mean, you know, if you go three tries, I mean, you know, you can still have to babble on the first one, second, or third one. Do you think NASCAR might change their mind next year for the Super Speed Loads at Daytona Talladega?
Well, and that's a pretty good question, Tim. Brian France actually addressed that issue on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio with Dave Moody and SiriusXM Speedway today. And Brian France simply said that they're reviewing their options for 2016 season, especially when it comes to Speedway racing and what they're going to do with the green-white checkered rule. You'd like to think that this was a one-and-done scenario, that NASCAR won't go back to this, especially since the chaos that we saw ensue in last Sunday's elimination race at Talladega Super Speedway, but we don't know. NASCAR could decide it's okay, it's going to be two green white checkers, or it could go back to three, or they could just come out of the woodwork and say, okay, we're going to do every race has to finish under green flag conditions. I will say this, though, you know, everybody was caught off guard when NASCAR threw the caution after Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Larson had their incidents in the tri-oval, and NASCAR threw the caution and said that the attempt did not count because the drivers had not gotten to the start finish line yet. And I will say, I agree with the decision that NASCAR had done, because if they had ended of the race under that circumstance, I think NASCAR would have seen a hellacious backfire from the fans, not only on social media, but at the track as well. So I applaud NASCAR for what they do, but I will caution them that moving forward with this new rule and stated like they did this past Sunday at Talladega, they need to clarify whether that rule was only for Talladega or if it's for the rest of the races inside the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series or even Xfinity or Truck Series season, because if we go to Martinsville this weekend and we're in a green flag checkered situation, and before they get to the start-finish line, they're wrecking coming off of Turn 4, or if it's the same scenario at Texas, Phoenix, or Homestead, and they're wrecking off of Turn 4 before the drivers get the start-finish line and they throw the caution, they don't need to count that as an attempt. So I'm just looking for NASCAR. This is an opportunity for them to be consistent during this time frame, and I hope they would, because it was a decision that I agree with 100%. And I just want them to move forward and say, you know, moving forward, if they're going to throw this rule in and it doesn't need to make a difference, if it's for one green-white checkered or three green-white checkers, if you don't get to the start-finish line, then that attempt does not count.
I will definitely agree, Chris. And one last question. I know your time was limited, but I want to go back a little bit about qualifying. I know you were in the driver's meeting there at Talladega. Martin Truex Jr., the drivers were told to not go below the double yellow line in qualifying. Why did NASCAR say that, Chris? I mean, I hadn't heard nothing from when we were out there this past weekend. Why did they say do not go below the yellow line and qualify?
I'm not sure if that was an opportunity for teams to take an advantage of, you know, most of the teams do that because they think it's a shortcut to the start-finish line, so that could have been NASCAR's reasoning. I don't have an official reason from NASCAR on that, but they obviously made the rule very abundant and clear to the teams, and obviously Furniture Row Racing, for whatever reason, didn't take the message to hand, and Martin Truex went below that yellow line. Obviously, we know that we can't go below that yellow line anyways at a restrictor plate track, whether you're during the race, so they might have just said that, hey, we're going to make it an official rule for all weekend. But I will leave you with this scenario. You know, maybe it was a strategy on Martin Truex Jr.'s part. You know, that's also come into play where some people say, hey, look, we have a strong car, but we don't need to be up front and in and all that carnage because we know it's going to be crazy, and exactly like it was. It was crazy at the start of that race on Sunday, so maybe they said, look, we just need to make sure we have to qualify, but we don't want to qualify badly, so let's just put ourselves in a position where we put in a good lap, but we have to go to the back because we violated the rule. So that theory has been thrown out there, and it's very well possible that they could have just done that just to put themselves out of the mix, but who knows. In the end, though, it doesn't make a difference, Tim, because it worked out for Martin Truex Jr. and their Furniture Racing team because they were able to get another top 10 finish in Sunday's race, and that propelled them into the eliminator round.
Yes, I didn't think about that. Chris, you're a damn genius. But anyway, I know your time's limited. Well, let's give everybody all a call in. Go ahead and throw out there where everybody can follow you at on social media, but yes, folks.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm on Twitter at Nighter01, KNIGHTER01, and I'll be supposed to be at all the remaining races from Martinsville, Texas, Phoenix, and Homestead. And if you stay tuned to follow me on Twitter, I'm sure you'll get some interesting tidbits and news and a lot of dialogue back and forth as well.
Sounds good, bud. Suzanne and I, our next break, we're doing for the year. We're going to be in Daytona next year for the 500. But, Chris, thanks again. And we will be following you and checking everything out. But thanks again for taking your time out to call on the show. And safe travel to Martinsville this weekend, bud. Appreciate you.
Okay, anytime you guys want to have me on, just let me know. I'm more than happy to.
All right, I will, Chris. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome, bud. Okay, that was Chris Knight from CatchFinish.com. Steven, any last thoughts? Well, wait a minute. Before I go, last thoughts. Steven, I'll give you last thoughts. Go ahead, bud. Steven, can you hear me, son? Steven, are you there? I must have lost Steven. Okay, I'm going to read off special event. This is via MRN. I'm going to read everything else. Friday, 10:30, Sprint Cup Series practice, 11:30 a.m., 12:55 p.m., all times of Eastern. MRN is your radio, NBC ESPN is your TV. Also Friday, Camper Royal Truck Series practice, 1 p.m. to 1:55 p.m., Fox Sports 1 is your TV. Also Friday, Camper Royal Truck Series, final practice, 2:30 p.m. to 3:50 p.m., Fox Sports 1 is your TV. Sprint Cup Series qualifying, 4:20 p.m. MRN has your radio, NBC, SN has your TV. And we're going to go to Saturday, 10:31, all times are Eastern. Sprint Cup Series practice, 9 a.m. to 9:55, MRN has your radio, CNBC has your TV coverage. Camper Royal Truck Series qualifying, 10:15 a.m., Fox Sports 1 has your TV. Sprint Cup Series, final practice, 12 p.m., 12:50 p.m., MRN is your radio, CNBC. I'll get that right in a minute. They didn't throw the kink in there. There's your TV. Radio pre-race, 1 p.m., MRN is your TV, TV pre-race, blah, blah, blah. Let's go to Sunday. For the Sprint Cup Series, Goody's Headache Release Shots, 500, first round in the eliminator round at Marble Speedway. MRN has your radio, NBC, SN has your TV at 1:16 p.m. at TV time. Green flag is 1:28 p.m. And I would like to say good night from Talladega, Alabama.
She couldn't keep from crying when she told me goodbye. I knew, Lord, it was breaking her heart, but she was breaking mine. So for the sake of her feelings and the sake of my pride, I told her not to worry about me. So I'm sitting here soaking up the neon light, misery, looking for some company. And tonight I'm looking for the party crowd, slamming them back and laughing out loud. Blues can't hang around. With the jukebox jumping like it just don't care. If they're dancing over here or fighting over there, I'm making the rounds, looking for a party crowd. It'll dawn on me tomorrow, wherever I wake up, I'll look try to recall just where the heck's my truck. So take my keys and lock them up tight and let the good times flow. And I worry about tomorrow when it comes to light. The night's still young and I'm on the road tonight. I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming them back and laughing out loud with the smoke so thick. With the jukebox jumping like it just don't care. If they're dancing over here or fighting over there, I'm
Battle to win. Nations have dropped from 16 to 12 to 8. Now it's down to the championship four at Homestead Miami Speedway. The stage is set. The stakes are high. The glory will live forever. It's time! The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship Ford EcoBoost 400. November 22nd. Go to HomesteadMiamiSpeedway.com